Today, I will be airing a message I gave entitled, Jesus is the Way, a comparison and evaluation of Buddha, Muhammad, well, and Jesus.
While he's doing that, I want to thank everyone for coming out. And I will just please join me in a moment of prayer. Lord God, I ask that every word that I utter will glorify you. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Jesus is the way. Wasn't that beautiful what Don read? I mean, it gripped me right away, but there are people who believe that Jesus isn't the way. There are people who believe that there is more than one way. We live in a pluralistic society, so we often hear that Jesus is the way, Buddha is the way, Muhammad is the way, that these are just men who are pointed to different paths that go up to the same mountain, to the same God. But is this true? And I'm here to demonstrate that no, this is not true. I know all of you know the answer to that question, but it was sort of rhetorical. But I'm going to demonstrate that they are not only do they not lead to the same path, they teach different things. Not only do they teach different things, they teach contradictory things, so they cannot all be true. So let me show you my roadmap. I want to examine the teachings, evaluate the teachings, look at their lives, and evaluate their lives, and then come to a conclusion. First, their teachings. And before I start, I want to say that when we hear all the time that these people teach the same thing, that these religions teach the same thing, what they're really saying is that there's a morality that's the same. They will say something like, all religions teach that you shouldn't murder one another. All religions teach that you should be kind to one another. And this is true, but this has nothing to do with the religions. This is the moral code written upon the heart that every man is supposed to ascribe to. This is something that not only Buddhists and Christians and Muslims are supposed to ascribe to, but atheists too. But when I talk about a religion, I'm talking about what the religion teaches that makes a religion a religion. I'm talking about what is their view of God, what is their view of salvation, what is their view of man. That's what makes a religion. A religion. And these are the things that we're going to examine. These are the things that we're going to demonstrate. I'm going to demonstrate are different and contradictory within each religion. Let's first examine the teachings of Buddha. On the nature of God, Buddha actually was an atheist. Now, there are some people that say maybe he was a pantheist, but according to what I read, from my understanding, he was an atheist. And one of the reasons why I've come to that conclusion is because he actually argued against the existence of God from the standpoint of evil. You've heard the argument. If there was a God, there wouldn't be any evil. Since there is evil, then surely there must not be a God. On the nature of man, Buddha taught that life is an illusion. There is no such thing as life. There is no such thing as me and you. The existence of self is an illusion, and there is no wrong in this world, no vice, no evil, except what flows from the assertion of self. So the only thing that is wrong, the only thing that is evil, is calling myself self, is not realizing that I am nothing. Salvation occurs when a person realizes that all is nothing. So until you realize that you are nothing, until you realize that all is nothing, then you have not achieved salvation. But once you realize that you are nothing, once you realize that everything around you is nothing, then you've achieved salvation. But until then, you have to go through the cycle of reincarnation, being born again through karma, your past lives determining your future lives. You have to go through this endless cycle until you realize that you are nothing. That doesn't sound like Christianity to me. I don't know about y'all, but what about Muhammad? On the nature of God, God is not a trinity. Not a trinity. Now, here, I want to make a point here. When I say the teachings of Muhammad, I'm using the Quran. A Muslim would probably say to me, Harold, the teachings of Muhammad and the Quran are different because the Quran is considered the word of God. But I am making an assumption here, and that assumption is that if Muhammad is a prophet from God and he's received this revelation from Allah, then he must surely teach the same thing that Allah teaches him. It just doesn't make sense that he would get a revelation from Allah and teach something different. So I'm assuming that what's in the Quran is what Muhammad teaches. So when I present the teaching of Quran of Muhammad, a lot of times I want to use the Quran as a source. Muhammad teaches, God forgiveth not the sin of joining other gods with him, but he forgiveth whom he pleases other sins than this. One who joins other gods with God has strayed far, far away from the path. They do blaspheme who say Allah is one of three in a trinity, for there is no God except one Allah. If they desist not from their word of blasphemy, Verily, a grievous penalty will befall the blasphemers among them. On the nature of man, Muhammad taught that there is no original sin. Muhammad said, no child is born except in a state of natural purity. And this is from the Hadith. The Hadiths are the traditions and the sayings of Muhammad. They're considered authoritative by Muslims next to the Quran. Man was actually created higher than the angels. And behold, we, God, plural majesty, we said to the angels, bow down to Adam, and they bowed down, not so Iblis, who was Satan. He refused and was haughty. He was of those who reject faith. So Satan's sin was not bowing down to Adam. Adam was forgiven. God forgave Adam. We said, get ye down. Oh, let me set this up. According to Muhammad, man lived in heaven. Then once man sinned, he got kicked out of heaven and put on earth. We said, get ye down, all ye people with enmity between yourselves. On earth will be your dwelling place and your means of livelihood for a time. Then learned Adam from his Lord words of inspiration, and his Lord turned toward him, for he is oft returning, most merciful. So Muslims say that this is God saying he was forgiven. On salvation, faith plus works is required. For those who believe and do deeds of righteousness have Allah promised forgiveness and a great reward. There is no assurance of salvation. Then those whose balance of good deeds is heavy, they will be successful. But those whose balance is light will be those who have lost their souls. In hell will they abide. So what happens is that when you die at the end of your life, Allah weighs all your good deeds and your bad deeds. And if your good deeds outweighs your bad deeds, then you get into heaven. What did Muhammad teach about Jesus? Now, Buddha couldn't teach anything about Jesus because Buddha was way before Jesus' time. But what did Muhammad teach about Jesus? Interestingly, he was born a virgin. She said, Mary, how shall I have a son seeing that no man has touched me and I am not unchaste? He said, so it will be. Thy Lord said that it is easy for me, and we wish to appoint him as a sign unto men and a mercy from us. It is a matter so decreed. So she conceived him and she retired with him to a remote place. Jesus performed miracles according to Muhammad. O Jesus, the son of Mary, by my leave, and thou healest those born blind and the lepers by my leave, and behold, thou bringest forth the dead by my leave. So he not only performed miracles, but he even brought back the dead. However, he was not crucified. They that say and boast, we killed Jesus, Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, the apostle of Allah, but they killed him not, nor crucified him, but so it was made to appear to them. And those who differ therein are full of doubts with no certain knowledge, but only conjecture to follow. For a surety, they killed him not. He was definitely not God. Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, was no more than an apostle of Allah and his word, which he bestowed on Mary and the spirit proceeding from him. So believe in Allah and his apostles. Say not Trinity, desist. It would be better for you, for Allah is one Allah. Glory be to him, for he is exalted above having a son. Muhammad taught evangelism by violence. Fight those who believe not in Allah, nor the last day, nor hold that forbidden which have been forbidden by Allah and his apostle, nor acknowledge the religion of truth, even if they are the people of the book. They're talking about Christians and Jews. Until they pay the jizya with willing submission and feel themselves to do. That was a tax that, the jizya was a tax that Muslims would make Christians and Jews pay when they conquered an area. Fighting is prescribed for you, and ye dislike it. But it is possible that ye dislike a thing which is good for you, and that ye love a thing which is bad for you, but Allah knoweth and ye know not. Allah is saying that fighting is good. This is what you're supposed to do. When ye meet the unbelievers in fight, smite at their necks. Fight and slay the pagans wherever ye find them. What about the teachings of Jesus? Well, the nature of God. God is a Trinity. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with all your strength. And this, these are the words of Jesus. Jesus is repeating the Shema from Deuteronomy 1. Jesus is making sure that it's clear. He repeated it twice. God is one. But he's also allowing for a unity within that God. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Three separate people. He's mentioning three separate people here. Clearly the Father is God, and he knows, and he's about to say right now, Jesus is about to claim himself to be God, because Jesus does believe that he's God. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. He has taken the very name of God. This is the name that God gave himself in Exodus 3:14 when he told Moses, when Moses said, well, who should I say sent me? And he said, tell them I am that I am sent them. Matter of fact, the Jews knew exactly what he was talking about, because as soon as he said this, they picked up stones to stone him. I and the Father are one. Another time, the Jews clearly knew what he was talking about, because they picked up stones to stone him, and they specifically said, for blasphemy, because he claimed to be equal with God. On the nature of man, there is original sin. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So Jesus is not saying that at the end of the age, he's going to weigh your good against your bad. He's saying, no, you are already condemned. A lot of people like to look at salvation as like getting on an elevator. You have to decide, okay, I'm going to get on the elevator going up to heaven. I'm going to get on the elevator going down. No, you are born on the elevator going down. You have to get off and get on the elevator going up. Salvation. Jesus said that he is the way. As Don so beautifully said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. Jesus taught the assurance of salvation. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. He taught evangelism through peace. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And this is interesting. When Jesus was going to Jerusalem, he was passing through Samaria. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them? Jesus turned and rebuked them. And they went to another village. Jesus told them he had authority over death. John writes, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last, the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and Hades. Let's evaluate their lives. Let me get a quick drink here. On the nature of God. Now we've heard the different views. Now let's compare them. Okay, evidence indicates that there is a personal God. Buddhism says, okay, there is no God. We can look at the universe. We can look at the evidence around us to come to the conclusion that there's a personal God. Because personhood encompasses will, intellect, and emotions. We can look at the universe and tell that clearly a God who designed this universe had intellect. Well, clearly he had will, because he could have decided not to create anything. The fact that he decided to create indicates that he had will. And that he has emotions, we have emotions. God cannot give what he does not have, and we're made in the image of God. So clearly we have a personal God who meets all the qualifications of personhood. And the Trinity best explains this nature. Now, hopefully I won't confuse myself here. This may get a little tricky here. When you have the God of Muhammad, you have a God that has strict monotheism. But I have to ask myself, and we have to ask ourselves, well, if this God has strict monotheism, then how did he love before he created? What did he love? If there was no creation to love, how could he love? And how could he be all loving if there was no object of his affection? But when you look at the Trinity, you see a perfect love relationship within the Trinity. You have the Father, who's the lover. You have the Son, who's the beloved. And you have the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of love. So there is self-contained, all of what's needed for the whole love relationship. So to me, the nature of the Trinity best explains the nature of God. Oh, thanks. Just throw money. A And here's the thing. The natures, all three natures are contradictory. All of these are contradictory. You cannot have, there cannot be no God, and there cannot be a God that's a Trinity, and there cannot be a God that is a Trinity. If you take one, you have to necessarily exclude the other two. On the nature of man, Buddha's view is eternally contradictory concerning evil and reality. Now here's something. Remember I said that Buddha actually used the argument of evil as an argument against God? But didn't he also say there's no such thing as evil? That doesn't make any sense. It's eternally contradictory. But here's something I found even more bizarre. I was pondering this. And I said, okay, salvation means giving up yourself. Hold up. Don't I have to have a self in order to realize that I need to give up myself? How can you give up yourself unless there's a self to give up? So it doesn't make any sense. Muhammad's view of sin contradicts the evidence because in Muhammad's view, there is no original sin. I submit to you the evidence all around us suggests that there's original sin. And I'm going to use all of you and myself as evidence. Because I have not met a man yet who's not a sinner. I have not met a man yet who doesn't struggle with sin or a woman who doesn't struggle with sin on a daily. I would praise God if I get off the stage before I sin. So it best explains the nature of man. I mean, you don't have to teach me how to not to sin. I struggle with how to try not to sin. You don't have to tell a child how to be disobedient. He does it. He learns it. It's a man. It's amazing. They all learn it. Every single child learns how to be disobedient. You don't have to teach it to them. What you have to teach them to do is to be obedient. You have to teach them to listen. You don't have to teach them to do the bad things. You have to teach them how to do the good things. I think original sin best explains it. And that's Jesus' view. It best explains it. And these three views are contradictory. Either there's original sin or there's not original sin. Salvation. Both Buddha and Muhammad claim to simply point the way. Do you know you can have Buddhism without Buddha? Do you know you can have Islam without Muhammad? Because they are just pointing to another source. They're pointing somewhere else. Buddha's pointing to his four noble truths. And if you follow those, then you can become a Buddha yourself. But he just discovered them. Muhammad is basically saying that he's just pointing to the same thing that the prophets before him said, as I'm gonna allude to in a little bit, in a couple of minutes. But he's not really doing anything new. He's not really showing you anything new. As a matter of fact, I was on a website, secularislam.net, and a lady said that the reason she left Islam was because Islam has made no contribution. If Islam disappeared tomorrow, the world would not be any worse for it. I submit it would be a lot better, but, you know, I'm trying to be as biased as I can. You know, I'm trying to, you know. But it's hard. Jesus, on the other hand, claimed to be the way. Jesus is not pointing off in the distance some way. Jesus is saying, I am the way. He's pointing toward himself. That's so different from these other two. These other two aren't pointing to themselves. Jesus is pointing to himself. Oh, yeah. This is a deep point. The God of Muhammad, I submit to you the God of Muhammad is not as holy as the God of Jesus. And here's my point. Remember I was telling you about Adam and God just arbitrarily forgave him? He just waves his hand and forgives sin. But you have the God of Jesus who is a holy God. He can't just wave his hand and forgive sin. He can't just pretend like it never happened. Sin is something vile to him. Sin is something that requires death. Sin is heinous. He doesn't just ignore it. He doesn't just wave his hand and pretend like it never happened. The God of Jesus is holier than the God of Muhammad. Jesus accurately explains the human condition and he offers a solution. God is perfect. His standard must be perfect. Jesus' perfection satisfies God's requirement. Now, when I look at the God of Islam, it troubles me. Because what do we have? We have a God here saying, okay, I'm going to look among all you imperfect people who have sinned, who are sinners, and pick some of you sinners who I think are better sinners than other sinners, and you've met my standard. Whereas Jesus said, no man can meet his standard. Jesus is saying, I met his standard, and you have to meet his standard because of me. Because God, if God is perfect, his standard must be perfect. How can you have a perfect God whose standard is less than perfect? And if God's standard is less than perfect, then he can't be God. But if his standard is perfect, how can you and me meet that standard if we're not perfect? How can you and me meet the standard of a perfect holy God if we are not perfect and holy? Jesus makes sense. Jesus makes sense. And also, think about this. No sin ever committed in the universe at any time will ever go unpunished. Every sin ever committed in the universe will be punished. Every sin, according to the God of Jesus. Because either that person will spend eternity paying for it themselves, or Jesus already paid for it. But the God of Jesus is not a God who arbitrarily overlooks sin. Every sin will be dealt with. The three views are simply contradictory. All these views cannot be the same. Either you can be good enough or you can't be good enough. That's one of the things that separate Christianity from all the other religions. All the other religions say, what can you do? Christianity says, what has been done? What about Muhammad's teaching on Jesus? Muhammad's view conflicts with the historical facts of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. So that's a historical fact. I don't have time to go into the evidence of it, but the evidence is clear that Jesus died and Jesus rose again. And here's another thing. Muhammad accuses a perfect God of being a deceiver. Remember now, when Jesus was on the cross, it was made to appear that it was Jesus, but it was not him. So then he deceives everyone who's looking, actually everyone for 600 years until supposedly Muhammad writes this book. Everyone is under the impression that Jesus died, but he didn't die on the cross. Like I said, these views are contradictory. Either Jesus died on the cross and was raised, or he did not die on the cross and was raised. You can't have it both ways. Let's look at their lives. Now, I'm going to tell you now before I get started. Some of you are going to say, how are you being so unfair? You're taking all these bad things of these other people and you're comparing them against all the good things of Jesus, and you're just not being fair. Well, so you're sort of right, but but besides that, the thing is that Jesus didn't do anything bad. And my whole point is I'm trying to show that these were just men. I'm sure Muhammad did some good things. I'm sure Muhammad did some passionate things. But you can't compare Muhammad to Jesus, who was always compassionate, who was always perfect. And my point is to show that these men are men in comparison to Jesus. Normally, when I teach a class, I always stop and say, okay, I'm sorry. I'm preaching. I'm getting away from teaching and preaching. But I guess it's okay to preach up here, though, huh? All right, Buddha lived from 563 to 483 B.C. However, the earliest written documents come 500 years after his death. He left his wife and infant while they were sleeping to go off and find spiritual enlightenment. He allegedly, according to the sources, performed miracles. Of course, I will deal with that. However, he never claimed to be God, never cast out demons, never raised the dead, never healed the sick. Died at the age of 80 from eating a bad piece of pork. I want to make a joke about that so bad, but I'm going to be respectful. The life of Muhammad. He lived AD 570 to 632. He was only a messenger. This is the Quran again. This is God telling Muhammad to say, oh man, I am sent to you only to give a clear warning. Muhammad, this is the Quran again, Muhammad is no more than an apostle. Many were apostles that passed away before him. He performed no miracles. On numerous occasions, he refused to do miracles. This is just one. They say, why is not a sign sent down to him from his Lord? Say, Allah has certainly power to send down a sign, but most of them understand not. He married a six-year-old girl. Now, when I first heard about this, I assumed that there were these rival tribes and, you know, they were trying to, like, cause peace among them. So they were like, okay, I'll just, you know, in name only, sort of like marry your daughter. No, sort of like Solomon did to make peace with the surrounding areas. No. The prophet asked Abu Bakr for Aisha's hand in marriage. He actually instigated it. The prophet wrote the marriage contract with Aisha while she was 6 years old. This is from the Hadith now. While she was 6 years old and consummated his marriage with her while she was 9 years old, and she remained with him for 9 years till his death. This is from probably the most respected Hadith. These of his companions, Muslims, recognize as authoritative. What's really scary about this is that Muslims always try to emulate the Prophet Muhammad. That's what's scary about that. Muhammad was a sinner. Muhammad said, oh Allah, wash away my sins with the water of snow and hail and cleanse my heart from the sins as a white garment is cleaned of filth, and let there be a far distance between me and my sins. He was a sinner. He was vengeful. Someone said something that he didn't like. When the apostle heard what she had said, he said, who will rid me of, I'm apologizing now, I'm about to butcher two names, all right? Who will rid me of Marwan's daughter, Umar bin, which means son of, Umar bin Adi al-Khatami, who was with him, heard him, and that very night he went to her house and killed her. In the morning he came to the apostle and told him what he had done. You have helped God and his apostle. Apostle, that's Muhammad. Oh, Omar, two goats won't butt their heads about her. So he praised this man for going out and killing this woman because she said something bad about him. He was violent. That was an example. Here's another one. Whenever he would go in and he would take over a place, he would want the money. Oh, the apostle gave orders to Al-Zumari bin Al-Awan, torture him until you extract what he has. So he kindled a fire with flint and steel on his chest until he was nearly dead. Then the apostle delivered him to Muhammad bin Musalama, and he struck off his head in revenge for his brother. This is taken from the life of the Prophet Muhammad. This book was actually written by an Arab historian within 100 years of the time of Muhammad. It is considered the best biography by Muslims, and most Muslims do not know what I've just been telling you. It's in selling the bookstore, as a matter of fact. That's why I bought it. Let's look at the life of Jesus. Jesus was sinless. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, what I'm doing is I've taken sources recognized by Muslims to bring to you the life of Muhammad. I'm bringing to you now the life of Jesus through the sources that we consider authoritative, and that's the New Testament. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. He performed miracles. Believe the miracles that you may know and understand that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited to you by God, to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. He was crucified. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. He was resurrected. Angel at the tomb, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. He is forgiving. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let's evaluate these different lives. Buddha, remember I talked about the miracles? Well, first of all, like I said, it's 500 years removed from the fact. I mean, it's nothing like we have the New Testament. We have it right after the events. We have numerous manuscripts, and they were written by eyewitnesses. These were written, who knows who they were written by. They contain obvious myths and legends. When I was reading like the Lotus Sutra, you have him performing these miracles, and guess who his audience is? His audience is like goblins and titans and all these mythological creatures. There was this one creature called the Naga. I didn't even know what it was, so I looked it up, and it said it was a mythological Hindu sea serpent that lives at the bottom of the sea. Now, how he's preaching to sea serpents, land animals, and sea animals at the same time, I don't know, but, you know. Now, here's an interesting thing. Miracles are only possible in a theistic world. Miracles, by definition, are intervention by God in the natural law of things. If there is no God, there could be no miracle. The most we can say about Buddha is that he learned how to manipulate the laws of nature, but he died from eating a bad piece of pork. I wasn't going to say anything about that, but let me move on. He was an imperfect moral example. Remember now, he left his family to pursue his own personal fulfillment. They were sleeping in bed, him, his wife, and his infant. He decided he wanted to go and find his own personal fulfillment and left. What about Muhammad? Muhammad himself needs a savior. He was not confirmed by miracles by God through miracles. He was a perfect, imperfect moral example. I don't think I had to rehash that. But what about Jesus? Jesus was sinless. He was confirmed by God through miracles. He was a perfect moral example for all people in all times. And the reason I added that on there is because Muslims would say that Muhammad was a perfect example at that time in that culture. That's not good enough. If you're going to compare him to Jesus, that's not good enough. Jesus is the perfect example for all time, all people. Let me bring it on home. Only Jesus claimed our eternal destination depends on what we do with him. Only Jesus was sinless and perfect. Only Jesus was confirmed by miracles. Only Jesus claimed to be God and proved it. The Encyclopedia of Biblical Prophecy lists 191 prophecies literally fulfilled in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Only Jesus raised from the dead, even claims to be raised from the dead. Only through Jesus do we have the assurance of salvation. Only Jesus provides the perfect example of compassion and forgiveness. Remember the examples I've showed you of Muhammad? But how do you compare that? Let's look at Jesus. Look, Jesus was whipped mercilessly. The flesh ripped from his body. He was beaten with the fist of the guards. He was spat upon. They mocked him. They dressed him in a purple robe and put him out in front of the crowd and put on a crown of thorns on his head to mock him. And they made him carry part of his own cross. And he fell under the weight. And he got to Golgotha. And when he got there, they nailed him to that cross and they lifted him up. And the people who were listening, who were watching, they were still mocking him. If you're the Son of God, then why can't you come down? And he's looking out at all these people. And even the two thieves who were next to him were mocking him. He was set up between two thieves. They let a murderer go and they crucified Jesus, who had no sin, who did nothing wrong, performed miracles, who healed a lot of these people. A lot of these people actually saw him perform these miracles. But what did he do? On the cross, what did he do? He looked out over these same people. He looked out over them and he saw in their eyes the hate that they had for him. And what did he do? And you know, death on the cross is about crucifixion, about suffering. Asphyxiation. So in order to breathe, he had to pull himself up with the nails in his hand. He had to pull himself up. So when he talked, his words had to mean something, because he had to pull himself up, and there was pain and there was blood. And what did he say? He pulled himself up and he looked down and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I just want to read this. I don't know who wrote it. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in still another village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he traveled and preached. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family or owned a house. He did not go to college. He never visited a big city. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of the things man usually associate with greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 30 when the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. He turned over to his enemies and he went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a stake between two thieves. And while he was dying, his executioners gambled for his clothes, the only property he had on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 20 centuries have come and gone, and today he remains the central figure of the human race and the leader of mankind's progress. All the armies that ever marched, all the fleets that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned put together have not affected the life of men on this planet as much as that one solitary life. And in conclusion, final conclusion, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by him.
Gotta let him know. To be ready to give it to. Gotta let him know. And it's a father of the hand. Gotta let him know. Father of the lights in you.